Today's scripture is John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going towards the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went to the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth which Jesus had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stood to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be a gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her.
As you're being seated, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we come together today with joy at the truth of Easter. And as we reflect now on those truths, would you bear it down deep in our hearts that we might understand it, and not just in our heads, but in our hearts and in our hands as we go from here, filled with your Spirit to be those that proclaim this good news. Would you be with us and with the children downstairs? In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. For those of you that don't know me, my name is John, one of the pastors here, and it's so good to be with you on this Easter Sunday. It's a good day, isn't it? I've tried to be the first person to go to everyone and say, "He is risen," and to see if they say, "He is risen indeed," back to me, to see it's a true marker of a true believer. I'm joking. For those of you who might be visiting us, or maybe church is new to you, and maybe you're unfamiliar with Easter, and you've come in, and you're kind of, this is the right time to come, right? This or Christmas. You've wandered in, and you're not entirely sure what's going on. Let me just be clear. Today is the day that Christians celebrate the fact that 2,000 years ago, the man, Jesus of Nazareth, rose from the grave. That's what we celebrate. It's the most incredible claim, isn't it? And yet, it is the cornerstone, the foundation of the Christian faith. And so if you're here today and you are a Christian, it is not only what you have built your life upon, but it's the reality of which continues to transform and reframe your life day by day. This is it. This is the centerpiece. What I want to do today, very briefly, I've got short time with you, is to consider this centerpiece, this truth. And we're going to do so by just looking at this interaction that you've just heard read. You didn't see, but you heard read. An interaction between Jesus and Mary Magdalene, one of Jesus' first followers. If you were here with us a couple of days ago over at John Oliver, you'll have heard the story of Jesus and his death, center of the Christian faith. That's the reason the cross is hanging there. If you were with us on Good Friday, you'll have heard that story, the story of a man who was crucified on a Roman cross. But today, On Sunday morning, we pick up the story as Mary goes to the tomb to see the body. And so we read, "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.'" Right in the middle of this most extraordinary story, right in the middle of the story of Easter, is something painfully ordinary. It's a grieving woman. A grieving woman weeping at the grave of a loved one, stooping to get just one last look at his face. And then the further pain of not seeing him and fearing that what remains of him has been taken away. Christ said, yeah, the backdrop of Easter Sunday is what remains from Good Friday, and what remains after a death, as we know, is grief. Is those who are left behind grieving the loss. And so for us to begin to understand the glory of Easter, we need to first just sit here a moment. Just a moment. And to understand something of death. Death is a strange thing, isn't it? It's a strange thing. Something so common, so ubiquitous to the human experience, and yet so unfamiliar, so unknown. So present before us, and yet so foreign to us. And while philosophers can't seem to agree whether or not mortality gives life its value because of how limited it is, or it renders all of life meaningless because of its apparently ultimately amounts to nothing, either way, when we think about it, when we dare to think about it, which, as we know, our culture's encouragement is to ignore it, or to hide it, or to sanitize it, or to trivialize it. However much we try to philosophize about our own mortality, when someone dies, it's agony. To never hear them say your name again. To never feel their embrace. And whereas in life, time is what draws you together, in death, it's what pulls you apart. Christ City, death hurts. And at Easter, you don't just need to know it, you need to feel it, because Mary felt it. As one theologian puts it, Mary's emotion represents the emotion of the whole world in the presence of the overwhelming cruelty of death. It stings, as the Apostle Paul says. But worse still, it not only stings, it seemingly, apparently, always wins. And so Mary's grief is not only understandable, but relatable, and maybe for some of us, more acutely today. You know, just yesterday, I got a call from my younger brother. A mutual friend of ours collapsed. He's got bleeding on the brain, and the doctors don't think it's good. And he's in his early 30s. He's a husband and a father. Christ City, for us to begin to understand the glory of Easter Sunday, we have to first feel the pain of Good Friday. But the good news of Easter is that Good Friday is half the story. It's half the story. While it is part of what we celebrate at Easter, it isn't the story of Easter. You see, the story of Easter isn't remembered by millions of people around the world every year for thousands of years because it speaks about death, because it speaks about the ubiquity of death in the human history. No, the story of Easter is remembered because it speaks of an anomaly in human history. We might say that Easter is not the rule, but it is the exception to the rule, which is why it's so exceptional. Think about it. If Jesus had simply died on a cross, we might be able to file him away with all the other good men who died for good causes, who left grief behind in his wake. But that's not why we care so much about it, is it? We care so much about Easter because on Sunday morning, something unimaginable happened. And so following this grief, we read on in verse 14. It says, having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Now, I don't think I'm being hyperbolic or overstated here when I say that as Mary turns around, history turns around. As Mary turns, history turns, because as Mary turns around, she is greeted by Jesus, the one who we have just read has died on a cross. The one who is dead is now alive. And maybe it was because of the tears in her eyes, or maybe the risen Jesus had veiled his appearance in some way, as he would do with some of his other disciples, or maybe because it was seemingly impossible and therefore illogical or unreasonable to believe that it was him. But either way, Jesus, the risen Jesus, appeared to Mary and she didn't even recognize him. She thought it was the gardener. And one of the most beautiful moments in all of Scripture, in all of literature, in all of history. His appearance is revealed to her as she hears that familiar voice. That voice that she thought that she would never hear again. That says her name, Mary. What a beautiful moment. To hear the voice of a loved one say your name, to feel their embrace, to in a moment have that shadow of death lifted, to have tears wiped away and all the grief and sorrow and pain removed. It really is, Christitia, a beautiful story. Where that great enemy, death, was defeated and grief is turned to joy. That is why we remember today. That 2,000 years ago, death felt its first defeat. But you know what? That's not all that we remember today. You see, if you're here today and you're visiting and maybe you're hearing this for the first time, you might be asking, well, that's a beautiful story. Why does it matter to me? Why does it matter? Why does it matter that Jesus rose from the dead, if indeed he actually did? But say that he did. Why does an anomaly in human history matter to the rest of us today who have to still experience all of the grief and pain of death? And it's a good question. It's a good question. What's interesting about our text today is that Mary, not only did she not recognize Jesus, but she also didn't understand what Jesus was doing or had done and was doing. She didn't understand. She had seen the risen Jesus, but she didn't yet understand the resurrection. And that's why Jesus replies to her in seemingly such a cold way, an odd way. Having had her grief turned to joy, having had her tears wiped away, and presumably and understandably, it's implied in the text but not said, she grabs hold of him, which is what we would do. And then Jesus says to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. Now, I'm so sympathetic to Mary here, aren't you? You see, Jesus, what are you going to do? You're going to grab him. You're going to grab him. You're going to want to hold on to him. Hold on to all that you thought you lost. But Jesus says, don't hold on to me. Why? Well, because for us to begin to understand the resurrection, we need to understand that while on Good Friday, Jesus declares it is finished, on Easter Sunday, Jesus is declaring a new beginning. A new beginning. Something new is happening. You see, the reason Christians celebrate Easter every year is not just that Jesus died on the cross, which is good news. And it's not just that Jesus rose from the dead, which is better news. But if it's simply an anomaly in human history, it's extraordinary, but ultimately irrelevant for us, isn't it? 2,000 years ago, one guy rose from the dead. Wow. But the reason Christians celebrate Easter every year is because by dying on the cross for our sins and by raising to life in victory over sin and death, Jesus has made a way for you and me to be reconciled to God. To be reconciled to God. And so Jesus says, don't cling to me. Why? Because I'm going to the Father. I am making a way. I am ascending to the place that you can now come. But it's not just to my Father. It's my Father and your Father. My God and your God. You see, the resurrection was an exception to the rule in human history that death was defeated. It took its first loss. But it happened so that it could create a new rule. A new way, a new life, a new creation that has a power over sin and death. And all that sin and death did in separating us from God has been removed. And now we have a Father and a God. That's why the resurrection of Jesus is described not as an anomaly. You know, in the Bible, it's not described as an anomaly or a one-off. In fact, it's described as the first fruit. The first fruit, the first of many to follow. Many of you know that me and my family, we went away on vacation for 2 weeks, just a couple of weeks ago. And when we left, as we were driving to the airport, we noticed a few of the buds of the cherry blossoms. One or two. And we thought, it's coming. Then we left, went to a really hot place. Quite barren, actually. Came back. And our neighborhood was transformed, full of life and color. Christ City, this is a picture of Easter. Martin Luther, the great reformer, said that God didn't just write the resurrection on the pages of Scripture, but he wrote it on every leaf in springtime. That just as the first cherry blossom bud appears and with it proves that there is life after winter. And sometimes we need that in Vancouver, don't we? There's life after winter. It serves not only to demonstrate in itself life, but it serves as a promise for the possibility of more. And it's the same with the resurrection of Jesus. It becomes the hope and the promise and the assurance of life beyond the grave. That's why Easter is good news. That's why we celebrate. That's why we sing. Christ City Easter is a moment of unparalleled joy because it marks the moment in history where the power of death was overpowered. And yet more than that, it serves as a foreshadow. As a first fruit of those of us who would participate in this grave-conquering life. But the power of sin and death that had previously separated us from God and all that was good is defeated. For those of us that put our faith in Jesus, that same power that rose Jesus from the grave, Paul says in Romans 8, what? Lives now in us, is at work in us. And so for the Christian, We grieve. We grieve, yes, but not as those without hope. For the Christian, we suffer, yes, but all of our suffering is measured against the weight of eternal glory. And we die. We die, yes. But death is no longer fatal or final or fearful because we have the hope of resurrection life. Christ City, that is why we celebrate. That is why we celebrate. Let me end with this. In just a moment, we're going to watch a video of 14 baptisms. 14 baptism testimonies. And if you're with us here, you're all invited to come and join us at Kitts Beach as we celebrate these baptisms. We get 14 people. Praise God. People that have placed their trust in Jesus and are now bearing witness to the good news of the gospel in their lives. That because of Jesus, that they have been reconciled to God. That they now have hope beyond the grave. That they now have the power to live now with that resurrection power, that grave conquering power in them so that they can live free from their sins and as they ought to live. That's what we're going to watch in a second. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you haven't yet put your faith in Jesus, let me just say, you can live your entire life ignoring Jesus. You know that? But you can't ignore death. You can't ignore death. It surrounds us. It's coming for us. No matter how much we try to ignore it or hide it or sanitize it or trivialize it, you will one day face death. And I think that's the reason you're here today, to be confronted with something that you have ignored. I think that's the reason you stumbled in or dragged in or however you came. So that you can hear some good news. If you put your trust in Jesus, you too can experience freedom from sin. You too can live life in abundance, life as you were made to live. You too can have what the Apostle Peter calls a living hope. A hope beyond that shadow of death. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, I want you to watch this video and I want it to serve for you as an invitation to respond as they have responded to the call of Jesus on your life, to lay down everything and to follow him so that you might receive eternal life. You can remain seated as you watch this video.
Well, I always went to church every Sunday, read the Bible almost every day. It was part of my weekly routine. But then a couple of years ago, I started listening in on the sermon, and that's when everything started to become more meaningful to me. There wasn't exactly a single moment that I became Christian, but something that helped my faith progress was lots of talks with my grandma, and she's always reminding me of how good God is. And one of the main talks that I had that was really memorable to me was when I was quite young, we were singing, "Oh, When the Saints Come Marching In." And then afterwards, she asked me if I would want to be in that number. And then she explained what it meant. And I immediately said, "Yes, I do. I want to be in that number." Now that I follow Jesus, I feel that I have a strengthened connection with him and that I'm more open about my faith with other people. I know that I'm a sinner in need of a savior, but I have found my savior. I know that I can't gain my salvation through works, but through my faith in Jesus. A verse that means a lot to me is Romans 8, verses 1 and 2, which reads, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set me free in Christ." I want to be baptized because it represents me being made new through Jesus Christ.
So I grew up a Buddhist, and my family is a very devout Buddhist family. And I've been to many temples to worship, but I didn't feel connected and feel very empty. And in Buddhism, we have to like have compassion for other people first, and I didn't really have it, so I always feel like I'm not deserving to be loved. So my life before Jesus was very empty and always seeking for validation from other peoples. And I didn't feel like connected to anyone despite my mom like trying very hard to provide for me and love me. I decided to study abroad in Canada, and I came here expected to be very happy, but I got very depressed and very homesick. And during this time, I met a wonderful friend and I got to stay with her family. And they are Christian, and they talk to me a lot about Jesus and God. And she invited me to a Bible study last year. And here I got to learn about Jesus for the first time. And when I got to know him, everything in my life changed. After I let Jesus into my life, I felt very loved. I stopped complaining about my life and stopped having seeking validation from other people. And because Jesus showed me love and compassion first, so I know how they feel like and I can pass them on to other people. I want to be baptized because I want to tell everyone that I belong to Jesus and he's my Lord and Savior forever.
I grew up in a Christian home, so then my parents tried to persuade me into reading the Bible or participating in BSF more. But I was more interested in building Lego, watching TV, and playing video games. Over time, going to church, listening to the sermons, I realized that I can trust Jesus and the Bible more. Now that I know Jesus, I'm at peace and I can trust him, and I know that he's my savior. I want to be baptized because Jesus loves me, and I want to proclaim to the world that I will follow him forever.
I was raised in a Catholic home in South Africa. We went to church on Sundays. We did our daily memorized prayers, and that was about it. But when I was 11, we moved to Canada, and I found myself lost. Who am I in this new country? I was around 16 years old when I made a choice to kind of commit to Christ, that I would go to church and I was serving at the church and I was volunteering and I was saying my prayers and whatnot. And I think then I decided that it needed to be something that I actually became my identity, that this is who I am. In my late 20s, I was a devout Catholic still, living my life, loving the Lord and serving him. I met my now husband, and he is a Bible-based, gospel-centered Protestant, and he really loves the Lord. And I saw the way he lived out his faith, and it challenged me. It challenged me to dig deeper into what is church doctrine and what does the Bible say and who is Jesus, and really start on a journey to re-know Jesus and the God of the Bible and to live my life actually as a Protestant. And I left the Catholic Church and started coming to a Bible-based church. We fell pregnant with twins, and unfortunately, shortly after, got very sick. I was hospitalized for 2 months, and I was actually sick for about 18 months. And I have never felt so lost and hopeless and abandoned in my life. And I had to wrestle again. What is the truth? Who is God? What is the point in following him? And being faced with death, I realized that he is the point. There is no one other to turn to. He gave hope and meaning to my suffering. And he renewed my faith in him, and not because life is good, but because he is good. I want to be baptized so that I can be a witness as a believer, not as a baby chosen by my family, but because I have made a personal choice to follow Jesus Christ, to accept his death on the cross for my sins. And for those around, whoever's watching this video or at my baptism, to know that they have that choice too, while there's time to choose Jesus and to follow him.
Before coming to Jesus, I had goals, I had ambitions, but I lacked a purpose. I first came to Christ City when I was invited by a friend. And I guess at the time I was just kind of curious. Like, I didn't grow up in a religious house, so I didn't really know what it meant. And to some degree, I was even a little skeptic. But even on the first day that I came, I just remember how warm and welcoming everyone was in the community. And I just felt the drive to come back, and I kind of kept coming back after that. There was a long time where I was just kind of questioning, and then one day, kind of out of nowhere, I just began to feel God more in my life. And at that same time, I was going through some difficult hardships, And I turned to God and he helped me through it. Since turning towards Christ, I feel like I have a sense of purpose. I feel like I've found my place with my brothers and sisters in Christ. My baptism is my proclamation to the world that I am reborn and I am beginning a new life as a follower of Jesus.
I've grown up in the church and I've always known Jesus' word and that he was a savior. However, it never really spoke to me. And so because of that, I've always separated my life from my faith. And so instead of spending my time turning to Jesus, I spend all my time working towards like my academics and extracurriculars and my talents. Over time, I felt like there was something missing in my heart because what I was trying to achieve was so surface level and superficial. And I think it was at that moment when I realized that I needed Jesus' salvation and that my worth isn't defined by my works, but rather by him. Now I feel like I truly kind of understand his word at like a deeper level. And also I get to like see the world and I see like God's goodness and his power everywhere, like just through like his creation and how he brings people together. I think especially now, it's like before I knew that Jesus was a savior, but now I know him as my own savior. I want to be baptized because I want to proclaim that I believe that Jesus is my savior and that he died on the cross to save me from my sins, and I want to walk the rest of my life with him.
My parents introduced me to church when I was very young, and I've been going to church ever since. And over the years, I've learned more about God. I came to a personal relationship with Jesus as I got older, and I was able to understand a little bit more about him. What made me believe in Jesus as my savior was that he died on the cross for my sins, and I know I can be with him for the rest of my life. I know that Jesus is with me, and I know that I can trust on him if I need any help. I want to be baptized because I want to show everyone that Jesus is my savior and he died for all of our sins. He is the best person ever in the universe.
I don't really remember a time in my life where I didn't believe in God because I grew up in a Christian family and my parents were really good at integrating faith into our everyday activities, but I didn't really put it into my own hands until recently. This past September, my brother left for university, and that was really hard for me because for the first time in my life, I was truly lonely and I didn't know what to do. So there was this one night where I was crying in my room and I had this strong pull to read my Bible. And I remembered my teacher talking about the Book of Psalms and how it's so raw and real about human struggles. So I started there, and by the end of it, I didn't feel like crying anymore. And I just felt like a wave of comfort from God come over me. So ever since that night, I haven't been that lonely because now I know that I have Jesus and that I can call on him and he will comfort me when I need him. I want to be baptized because when I called out to God, he was there for me and he comforted me in my time of need. And I just know that I can't do life without him and that he will always be there for me every step of the way.
Yeah, my life before following Jesus, I was conflicted, lost, and followed perhaps a selfish people. I had some friends from Christ City Kids, John and Kat, and they saw where my life was going, and they just met me with kindness and compassion and just introduced me to this wonderful church and the cinema. And then finally one Sunday morning, I heard Brant Van Roco talk, and I was just amazed with the message he's trying to show me is that I'm loved by God too, and we all are. And after that, I just became very convinced that I'm ready to follow Christ. Following Jesus, I feel a greater sense of calm, a sense of belonging, and I feel loved by God, and I'm just happy to be following Jesus' path. I want to be baptized because I'm done living the life of a fool. I want to walk the straight and narrow path, and I want people to know that I'm following Jesus in my life because this is the right thing for me to do.
So I was born into a Christian family, and my parents had both been Christian for almost their whole lives. I went to church every Sunday, but my faith wasn't really my own. I didn't have a relationship with God. I was just living through the facts I'd been told through church. So in about 2020, when COVID hit, my dad was also diagnosed with breast cancer, first stage 3, then later stage 4. And in this time, when I stopped going to school and we started being hit with all this cancer stuff, my faith became something really secondary to me because I just didn't feel like I had time for it. I spent about a year in this stasis, not really going to church, not working on my faith on my own, but eventually I realized it was something that I did want to spend time on. I got the chance to learn that my faith wasn't about what I knew about God, it was about my relationship with Him. I've learned as my faith grows stronger that I can be with God both in times of strength where things seem to be going well, but also when I don't feel okay, He's still there and He supports me and will get me through these hard times, even though they don't go away. I want to be baptized because Jesus has become a core part of my identity. He is really important to me and a big part of my life. So now I want to show the world that I'm going to follow Jesus for the rest of my life.
Before surrendering to Jesus, my heart was a bit empty, and I thought it could be something easy that I could find, like art, friends, writing, sports, but none of those fit. I decided to surrender myself to Jesus after a conversation with Pastor Jake about baptism, and in that conversation, I felt this connection to Christ. I just felt like there's a spark in my heart and something triggered. And then that's when I decided to commit my life to Jesus. Life with Jesus is more joyful. I feel more peace in me. I'm finally understanding the sermons and I just walking the path with Him. I always believed He was my savior, but I don't think I took it that serious. But now I want to take it past serious. Like, this is serious. This is where I want to take it. I want to be baptized to show people how God's making me feel on the inside, but going to show that on the outside.
Before coming to Jesus, my life was off course and dark. It was fueled by addiction and hopelessness. I oftentimes just felt lost, kind of just making it through life and not really thriving. I always was a believer. I came to Christ through recovery though, cleaning up my life after years of addiction. I began to establish my relationship with Christ. Since coming to Christ, my life has changed completely. I have solid relationships in my life now. I've got a small community of positive people around me. I'm happy for the first time in my life, and I'm no longer the self-seeking individual I was before coming to Christ. I want to be baptized because I want to declare my dedication to Jesus publicly. He died on the cross for me and for all of us, and I think it's my duty to follow Him. And he's changed my entire world, so I'm honored to follow Him.
Before I follow Jesus, my life is terrible, like stressful. I grew up with Muslim, and even my family Muslim. I was like hungry. I know something I needed, I don't know. What is this, for example? When I opened a business in Catalano, we meet some people, for example, like Brand, and sometime we like conversation about the religion, something like that. Brand, he's explained to me for more, and he answered my question. I was have so many questions, nobody answered. When Mr. Brand, he explained to us, he said, Jesus say, I want to die for you guys. And I follow Jesus because I know this is a right religion. I believe that Jesus came for us, to helping us. He loved us, that's why He wants to follow Him. And thanks God, now I am okay. I'm not hungry anymore for nothing. When I follow Jesus, I'm more comfortable, relaxed, and happy. I want to be baptized because I want to be a real Christian person and follow Jesus like 100% for everything.
Before I became a Christian, my life was a lot of chaos and a lot of disobedience. Me doing the wrong things at the wrong time. A lot of drinking, drugs, and then a lot of mental health problems. My whole identity was lined up with being not being a child of God, not any of that stuff. Nope. I'm well read, I'm an atheist. I was looking for everything but Jesus to fill my life. In 2022, I was recovering from a stroke and recovering from another stroke. Then I'd had three major seizures. I was actually considering medical assisted in dying or just suicide. And then at some point in time, I became so scared that I started looking for a church. And by accident, either my inability to read Google results or what have you, I wound up with Christ City Kids. And I thought, you guys are so weird. And Irene and Gerhardt put their hands on me. They prayed for me. And I'm sure I've been prayed for in the past, but not like that. It felt almost exhilarating. I thought, well, what happens if I give it 6 months? I mean, that's not very much time. And that 6 month period of time is when I became hooked. And also, I came into Christ City Kits with a lot of mental health problems still. And they were very active. And over time, those went away. That impulse to kill myself, which was there for a long time, is not there anymore. I had to go through all of that because I made that choice when I was 16. That sent me so far, like he's a straight line, and I just went, woof, right? To come back, it took him so much effort. And for me, I'm always like, why me? Each one of us who says that I am a follower of Jesus Christ, he did that for me. He died, he shed his blood, he was tortured, and he died for me. I want to be baptized because I want an outward expression of my being saved. I love Jesus, he is the one who saved me, you know, and without him, I probably wouldn't be here. So I'm very, yeah.
That's why we celebrate today. That's why, let's stand as we respond.